comfortable, are you be with being uncomfortable? Are you willing by God to shake things up in your life? That's a big question. Praying for one must be doing that for you, because I know it's doing it for me. It's shaking up my life. It's shaking up my heart and making me reevaluate where I am, what I'm doing for God. Now, related, but not totally related, how many campers do we have here this morning? How do people like to go camping? Wow, that's a few more than I thought might answer that. Now, I'm not talking about RV camping, okay? I'm not talking about RV camping. I saw a few hands go down. This is how my brother-in-law and sister-in-law go camping. Something like this. Theirs isn't quite as nice as this, but it's almost that nice. Jane and I have seen it before. We've never camped in it before. And so you see inside, it's luxury. It has these bump-out things, you know, so you end up with about a 12 by 12 living room, you know, and pretty nice, nicely decked out. That's not camping, that's glamping. And that's called glamour camping, okay? And that's almost like staying in a Hilton or something, you know. I'm talking about roughing it. How many of you like to rough it when you go camping? Okay, there's a few of you like to do that. I'm talking about tent camping, sleeping on the ground, maybe even taking with you only what you can carry in your backpack to wherever your destination is. That kind of camping. Maybe even forgetting the tent and sleeping out under the stars, no matter what the weather may be, cold or hot, dry or wet. How many of us are willing to camp like that? Well, there's still about three or four of you, okay. How many of us are willing to have our usual creature comforts taken away from us and we live without them? How soft are we? We've become pretty soft compared to a lot of other cultures. I saw that when I was with the kids, students from Burmese, you know. And since then, I've seen a couple pictures of where they live as they're sending to me on Facebook now. And they're living in these huts somewhere in the middle of nowhere, dirt floors. And they're very happy. They probably thought when they were dorm at the school that they were had just gone, you know, to heaven or something, because it was never so nice in their life before. How many comforts do you and I require before we start to complain? You know, things get a little bit edgy, a little bit rough, a little bit less uncomfortable. We start complaining about that. Are we willing to do something uncomfortable for God? Need to ask and answer that. Last week we read about a wealthy landowner that Jesus told about who called in three of his servants and he gave to each of them bags of gold while he was gone on a journey. They were each supposed to do as much as they could with what they had been given while he was away. And then they had to give an account to him when he showed up again. How many bags of gold did he give to them? Anybody? Go ahead. Five and two and one. Five and two and one. Okay, so different amounts of gifts of bags of gold to different servants. How many did they make with each of those? Five, two, or one? The five made turned into ten, the two turned it into four, and the one turned it into one. Yeah, one. And so he comes to the master and he says, you know, I was afraid. You know, I know you're a hard man. And, you know, I just went and buried it in the ground. That's what I did with what you gave me. The master gives a word of commendation first to the five and the two because they'd each doubled what they had been given and used them successfully, productively. And he said, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of your master. You know, you have been faithful in a few things. I'm going to make you faithful in many things. So even bigger things happen in their lives after that. But to this one servant who simply went and buried his bag of gold, he condemned him and he threw him out to the place of weeping and gnashing of teeth because he had unfaithfully used, or not really used, what he had been given. What we have all been given in Jesus Christ is so much greater than a bag of gold, isn't it? We've been given his love. We've been given his grace. We've been given new life. In Christ, we've been given the truth about Jesus Christ and the salvation that we all need, the salvation that only He can give. We have been given eternal life. And we've been given specific gifts as well, haven't we? Everybody in here that's a Christian already has some giftedness from God that they can use in His kingdom that matches up with who they are and how God wants to use their life. These are the bags of gold the Master has given us. Now, what are we doing with what He has given us? We're going to watch another session now from Bo Chansey and watch a few minutes together as Bo speaks about the risk that we take when we become a Christian, we begin following Jesus in His mission to seek and set a video ahead today. And I'll take responsibility for that. I didn't see that it was session 7 instead of session 6 when we put it up there. But maybe seeing the climactic video was actually helpful to us. It's kind of like reading the last page of the book before you get to the end of the book. Because you want to know how it ends. You want to know what's that final word of challenge. And I think we have received that today. What we want to talk about today is the risk of being called to be on mission with Christ. How weird things can get when you let God be in charge. When we start praying for God every day, weird things start to happen. At least that's the word Bo gives it. Things that we never thought would start happening happen on a regular basis. Unpredictable encounters, tense conversations open up simply because we've been asking God to open up these things. We've been praying, God, give me somebody to love today, somebody that I can show Your love to. God, show me one person that You have asked me to be responsible for uniquely and specifically. Be able to plant seeds of faith in their life. Safe and quiet and comfortable are not the usual dynamics for anybody who's following Jesus. Jesus' life was not safe and quiet and comfortable, was it? I mean, his life, as He started His ministry, was a life of controversy. He stood out because He spoke the truth in love to people who needed to hear that truth and who needed that love. And so must we. And so we are filled with His light and love, and God uses us in almost a confrontational way in many people's lives to say, you know, this is what needs to happen. This is who you need in your life. Because if you don't, here's where you're going to end up. Through Pray for One, God is shaking us out of our comfort zones. Once we get Jesus' passionate love for lost people in our hearts, then life can no longer be business as usual. We can never be happy simply maintaining the status quo. You know, just living the normal life. Normal is pretty boring afterwards, after all, isn't it? In 2 Corinthians, we read the Apostle Paul saying, if we are out of our minds, as some say, it is for God. And if we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all die. Paul was saying that once you give yourself to the mission of Christ, you will appear to be crazy. You will appear to be out of your mind because you no longer fit into the values and standards of this world. We no longer live a normal life like everyone else is living. We don't have the same goals normal people have. We don't have the same wants normal people have. And we appear to them to be out of our minds. Don't you get it? Don't you get what this is about, they may ask? But as Bo Chansey said in our 41-day prayer guide, he said this, it is better to be out of our minds for Jesus than to follow the pattern of this world straight into oblivion. You do realize, however, that what this world values is ultimate foolishness. People spend their entire lifetimes in pursuit of things that bring no pleasure today and no hope for tomorrow. Praying for one provides purpose for today and production for tomorrow. So praying for one is not easy. It's not normal, but it's the greatest thing you can ever do with your life. It is the greatest purpose you can ever find for your life. And so I want to talk briefly about several things, five things, that praying for one is. Praying for one, first of all, is weird. That's Bo's word, not a word that I use very often. In Romans 12:2, the Bible says that we're not supposed to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Normal is overrated. Normal of this world leads nowhere. The normal life so many crave is boring and unfulfilling. Praying for one is weird. but praying for one is far better than normal. Bo tells the story of going to the gym, and he's just minding his business and came around the corner in the gym, and this other guy's coming the other way holding his mouth, you know, and running for the bathroom. And Bo said, "What's wrong?" And the guy puked on him. Remember reading that story? And he thought, you know, what an introduction to somebody. And so the guy all cleaned up and the mess cleaned up, and they started talking. It ended up that he was the one that God had been wanting him to start plant seeds in his life. And over the next few months, that's exactly what he did after that auspicious introduction. And about 3 months later, this man came to Christ, and Bo baptized him into Christ. Well, that man's name was Jim. And Jim was an army recruiter. He had one of his new army recruiters that he said, you know, God is praying for somebody, you know, somebody in my life prayed for one, and this new recruit is my one. So he started focusing on this one recruit, and he started trying to influence her life for God. And eventually, over a period of time, Destiny became a Christian too. She went into the army as the story keeps unfolding, and she got there to boot camp, and there was a girl that was almost like her that she despised because they were so similar, so driven the same way. And they ended up butting heads, actually having a fight. And it ended up that this person she had the fight with that she despised so badly was her one that God was leading her to build a relationship with. They were coupled together, brought together as partners in boot camp and on into their life as they continued in the army. And they eventually became best friends. And the one that she had been assigned by God also became a Christian. And they are lifelong friends still today. And Destiny looks back at this with a smile on her face, you know, like, look at God's sense of humor, you know. This person I just absolutely hated when I got in the army became my best friend and became my sister in Christ. As Bo said in his book, the normative pattern of this world is sin and selfishness. Pursuing Christ leads you into the depths of his divine nature, and you will get in over your head. You will find yourself completely dependent on Jesus. And in that beautiful place of total submission, you will become available to God. You will be a resource in his hands to accomplish his will. And people will get saved because weird works. God does these unusual, weird things when we begin to pray for one. Praying for one is weird. Praying for one is crazy. We already read 2 Corinthians 5:13-14. It says that our lives, when we put our lives upon saving the lost, we appear to be people around us out of our minds. But those who come to Christ realize what we have done, how their life changed in Him. Day's 29 devotional helped us see the difference between believers and non-believers. And when we reject the lifestyle of this world, when we follow the lifestyle of Jesus Christ, it radically changes how we live, how we think. Our desires will change. The way we measure success will be markedly different. We will celebrate eternal victories, not just earthly victories and the world's goals. Peace will reign in our hearts when trouble comes and when circumstances get out of our control, and we will sail through those in greater peace than anyone else around us because we'll be steadfast and unshaken in our faith. Jesus will use our lives as a beacon of light to those who are in darkness, and they will find safety and freedom in Him. And this new identity that Jesus provides us with will set us apart to God and make us holy. Praying for one is crazy when you have the world looking at you, but this is the good kind of crazy, a crazy that actually works, the best kind of crazy. Praying for one is unpredictable. You're not in charge anymore. You're not in control of what your life will be like. In John chapter 3, we have a man come to Jesus, and his name is Nicodemus. He's one of the Jewish leaders, and he was a man that liked things to be orderly and understandable and predictable, like many of us. And he comes to Jesus at night because he doesn't want anybody else to know that he's consulting Jesus, trying to find out more about him, deciding whether or not to put his faith in him. Because every other Pharisee has rejected Jesus, it seems. But Nicodemus comes to him, he starts asking questions, and Jesus immediately asks questions back and confronts him. And in this conversation, he says to him in John chapter 3, starting in verse 5, he says, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he's born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at me saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Where God may take us after we begin praying for one may be like the blowing of the wind. Who can predict where the wind's going to blow today? We've seen a lot of it lately. We've seen the effects of it. But no one can understand exactly where it comes from, where it's going to end up, what it's going to do. And that it is the same way with the Spirit of God. And when you yield and you submit, you surrender, and you make yourself available to the Spirit of God, you say, God, I don't care that I can no longer predict. I no longer can control. I'm just pliable in your hands. I'm like a piece of clay. And you shape me, you mold me, you use me to carry this message wherever you want me to go. Praying for one is risky. John chapter 11, we read the story of Jesus' friend Lazarus. Lazarus who had died, and Jesus raised him back to life. Remember, Lazarus had grown sick, and his sisters Mary and Martha had contacted Jesus, who was many miles away. And he said, the one that you love is sick, come and heal him. That was their desire. But Jesus delayed. By the time he got there, Lazarus had already died. And they were very upset with Jesus that he had waited. But Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. Remember those verses? Remember when he says, you know, if you put your faith in me, you will have life even though you die. And they said, yes, okay, we believe that. And then he went out to Lazarus' tomb, and he prayed, and he called forth Lazarus out of the tomb. Lazarus came up out of the grave, and he presented him back alive to his sisters. And then we read in John chapter 12, verse 9, meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there, and they came not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. You know, this is a huge thing for their community. A huge miracle has happened. So the chief priests, it says, made plans to kill Lazarus as well, for on account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and believing in him. You talk about a crazy life following Jesus. Here's Lazarus. He gets sick, and over a period of days, he gets worse and worse and worse. It's painful. Eventually, he dies. Next thing he knows, he's being raised back to life. And he's reunited with his sisters and with his friends. And of course, Lazarus thinks this is great. You know, I was sick, I was dead, but now I'm alive again. And he becomes this instant celebrity. Everybody's like, tell me the story again, Lazarus. Tell me what Jesus did for you. Next thing he knows, the Jews are plotting his death along with Jesus because they're trying to get rid of Jesus. And now Lazarus is just as much a threat to their agenda as Jesus has been. And he learned that following Jesus, to be on his mission, is risky. It's not safe. It's not quiet. It's not comfortable when you put yourself out there for Jesus. Praying for one is costly. I want to make sure you don't get some rosy picture of what it means to follow Jesus. Some preachers will do that. They'll say, just come to Jesus and all your problems will be solved. All of the ills of your life, you'll be on easy street if you live with Jesus. That's not true. It's absolutely not true. In fact, you may be asking for more trouble in your life than you ever had if you become a Christian. You may be asking for a lot of things that you would never have received or experienced if you had not become a Christian. Because there will be an enemy that opposes you. It's going to be costly. Just count on it. Jesus never sugarcoated becoming a disciple. Many times he drew the line in the sand and said, okay, if you want to follow me, step across this line. It's not going to be fun. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be weird. It's going to be unpredictable. It's going to be costly to you. Bo confessed that before he became a Christian, he never really thought about the cost. how it would cost him time and energy and money. So it'd be good for us right here at this point in our Pray for One journey to ask ourselves, are we willing to pay the cost of following Jesus Christ? Are we willing to pay the cost of loving people as He does? Because it's going to cost us our money and our energy and our time and so much more. We're going to miss out on some of the things that we used to enjoy. But what will replace them is so much better than what we used to do. We don't even know what praying for one may cost us, but we will never regret this decision. We have brothers and sisters in Christ in Pakistan and India who we've heard reports about lately. Our own Dr. Paul, that's been serving in India for many years, has had to come back to America, and we're going to try and meet with him this week because he doesn't feel like he can even continue functioning where he was. There's so much opposition and so much threat of life. We've heard stories just this week, and last Sunday we prayed for a brother in Pakistan who is falsely accused of blaspheming against Muhammad and Muslim faith. And so now he's been beaten, and his brother's been beaten and nearly killed as they tried to get some kind of a testimony against his brother out of him. Just horrible things are happening. Hundreds have had to flee their homes, their businesses, their jobs because of the threat of others. They are not guilty of anything except loving God and loving people and wanting people to know Jesus. That's it. And that's what we're being asked to do and Pray for One. And because they're willing to stand, be willing to pay the price, to take the risk, to make their lives unpredictable and costly, they are seeing many people come to Jesus Christ, to new life in Christ, because of their witness. Now, I don't know what kind of trouble we will experience in America. Jim said something in communion meditation, we don't have that kind of trouble like they have in Pakistan and India. That's right. We have other kinds of trouble, don't we? We take other kinds of risk. We take risk of embarrassment or shame or being put down or even actively opposed by somebody. Maybe even a lawsuit or something else that may come out of it. We hear of different stories. But I think that's going to get worse before it gets better here in America. Are we willing to take the stand? Are we willing to love as Jesus loves? For one, it's costly, but it's worth it. Praying for one is weird, crazy, unpredictable, risky, costly. And we need to put ourselves right there in that place, right there in that position, so that all of these things are true of our lives. If you want to faint back from that, you're not following Christ. You're not on mission with Christ. So what do we do? What do we need to do this morning? Let me just itemize a couple things for you to think about, work on. First of all, we need to be very sensitive to God's voice. We need to be able to hear His voice, and that takes effort, that takes training, that takes every day looking and seeking the will of God, the ways of God, going to His Word, praying to God, asking for God to show you what to do. And we need to be able to hear Him when He tells us what to do. We need to obey Jesus immediately as soon as we know what He says. No hesitation. Well, let me think about that for a while. Let me mold this over. Let me meditate on it. If Lord makes it clear to you, then act upon that. Obey Him immediately as soon as He shows or tells you what you need to do. We need to smile at people. This is really simple. Smile at people. Be kind to people. Offer a kind word. Extend a gentle touch, which so many people's lives have so little of. And immediately they say, what's wrong? Why are you being kind to me? Nobody else is being kind to me. Why are you reaching out to me when everybody else is shunning me? Why did you take the time to do this? Why did you stop what you were doing to help me? And these acts of kindness need to be done as frequently as we can, showing God's love to everyone lavishly. Praying for one helps us realize that every appointment, every contact that you have, no matter who you run into in a day, is divine. That God has something in mind, something He wants you to see, something He wants you to do. And understand that everyone that you touch may be that one that God wants you to touch with His love. And you can make an eternal difference in their life if you will be available, if you will just put yourself out there. Here's the bottom line for today's message. Praying for one is going to pull you out of your comfort zone. It will inconvenience you. It will cost you. It will transform you. You will speak to people you would never have spoken before. You will touch people you have otherwise ignored. Jesus will conquer your fears and your insecurities and your prejudices. Excuses will be replaced with expectant prayers for one to share God's love with. And God's kingdom will grow. That's the good news. As we do this, as we love people, as we put ourselves on the line for Jesus, as we love as He loves, and as we plant seeds into their lives, then God's kingdom grows. Now, we're about done for today, but I want to stop for a moment and just ask this question. Are you willing for that change to occur in your life? Are you willing to become uncomfortable? You know, I've stood up here over the last few weeks and I've confessed that here at New Hope, we have not been doing a very good job. We have not been doing what God has called us to do. We've been doing some, but we've not been doing what we could. We have not been very faithful in what we've been given by the Master. We have not been faithful in sharing the love of Christ with lost men and women and boys and girls in our area. Do you agree? Everybody agree? Okay, so we agree, and as I've confessed that, are you willing to confess that today? Will you confess the same thing about yourself this morning? I have not been doing what I could do. I've not been living the way that I could live. I've been not taking the stand for Christ that I could be taking in the lives of people He brings into my life. Are you willing to confess the same? Are you willing to confess that sometimes we've been too timid to speak up when we should have spoken up? And sometimes we've been too busy to take time for someone that God clearly showed us. Take time for them. Do something for them. And I confess that today. I hope you're really willing to confess it also. If so, then what do you do after confession? You repent, don't you? You admit what you did was wrong, but repentance is not just admitting that, not just acknowledging the mistake you made, the sin that you committed. Repentance is a change of mind, a change of heart, a change of direction, a change of action. And you say, okay, I confess this. I know that I've not been doing very much with the bag of gold God gave me. But by golly, I'm going to do more now. I'm going to get it right. I'm going to start using what God is giving me in order to bless someone else. I'm going to love God, I'm going to love people, and I'm going to seek and save the lost that Jesus came to seek and to save. Praying for one is an opportunity for us to man up. Praying for one is an opportunity for us to take responsibility for the lost ones living around us. People here, right in your neighborhood, right in your block, right in your workplace, right in your home, maybe, that are lost. Will you keep praying for one? Will you allow God to do whatever God wants to do in your life? Will you pray for one and then share Jesus' love with whoever He brings into your life? If you will, great, because I'm going to do that, and I hope you'll do it too. Let's just pray a prayer of confession and repentance together this morning, and I want you to be very real and genuine about this. If you want to get down on your knees, you can do that. If you want to stand, you can do that. If you want to lay prostrate before the Lord, you can do that. If you want to just fold yourself up and make sure there's no distraction, let's get in that posture where we can pray very genuinely and sincerely to the Lord together today. Father God, we confess to You today that we have not been using our bag of gold very well. Some cases, at some times, we've even buried it. We've hidden it away so no one would know we even have such a thing. We've hidden our faith. We've hidden the opportunities. I have been lost. They've passed us by because we've been so busy or too timid. every person in here today, Lord, must make their own personal confession. Confession of failure, of weakness. But Lord, you don't want us to stop there. It's great to acknowledge these things. But you're calling for us today to repent, to change the way we look at our lives, to change that we live our lives, to change our attitude and our perspective and our goals and our dreams and aspirations. You're calling us, Lord, to repent of our selfishness and our pride and our criticism of others and the way we might compare ourselves to someone else and satisfy ourselves that we're better than so-and-so. Lord, help us to be very real with you right now. And where we need to change, may we make that change. Let's change that direction this moment, Lord. If this praying for one has just been a game up till now, and we thought, but John will get tired of this in a few weeks, and then we can go on to something else. Or we've thought, that's fine for a few people, but I don't have time. And we've put off reading and praying and meditating and being honest and real before you. God, that's got to stop today. We want to get our hearts right with you. So we change direction this moment to live for you, to love as Jesus loved, and to seek and save the lost just as He did. May His mission be lived in our lives from this moment forward. This is our prayer, Lord. So help me, God. Amen.